Danny, thank you so much for having me back. And it's a joy to be back. And I believe you put a good spell, on the journey of Boy Swallows Universe about 2 years ago. And I've never, ever forgotten how kind and generous you were to have me on early on, when Trent Dalton and the world of literary fiction were pretty strange to each other. And I was very touched that you took the time of day, and it's so cool that you took the time of day again.
I feel like I'm part of the Words and Nerds family. You guys are so amazing and lovely, and such a family of amazing literary lovers and creators and people who advocate.
Oh, thanks so much for your questions, engaging with the novel, and for everything you're doing. I know the podcast is hugely, hugely loved, so you're a gem.
I think it's awesome the work that you do. You know, we're out there in this pool of like however many writers there are in this country, and we're all trying to get our book to the surface. Podcasts like this enable us to do that, and also to talk about our craft.
Danny, you're a gift from heaven.
I love that you're such a great supporter and advocate for not only kids' books, but adult novels too. I love your interviews across the board.
Kudos to you, Danny, for getting everyone to relax so much that they open up and tell you such interesting things for the benefit of your listeners. So,
thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, well done.
That's so true. Oh my gosh, I just told you all these things that I've never talked about before. I go, can we edit that bit out? I can do this. And I was just so comfortable that I was like, all this stuff.
It's a special knack. Who wouldn't want to celebrate this fabulous podcast?
Thank you for listening to the Words and Nerds podcast. On this podcast, we chat about books, the writing process, and how literature has the power to change the world. I'm your host, Danny B. Today, I welcome Poppy Nwosu and Lisa Walker together again in a Words and Nerds interview. The three of us spoke once before on episode 173, and Poppy and I have spoken before in episode 115. Poppy Nwosu is an author of young adult fiction. She's published three romantic contemporary novels, Making Friends with Alice Dyson, Taking Down Evelyn Tate, and Road Tripping with Pearl Nash. And that is the book we're going to speak about today. Welcome, Poppy.
Hi, Danny. Thank you so much for having me.
It's lovely to have you back. Yeah, I loved having repeat guests. It's like you just keep going from where you left last time. You just keep the conversation rolling. And, of course, Lisa Walker is with us as well. Lisa writes novels for adults and young adults. She's also written an ABC Radio National play and been published in The Age, Griffith Review, Big Issue and the Review of Australian Fiction. Her recent novels include a young adult coming-of-age story, Paris Syndrome. And she's also author of The Girl with the Gold Bikini, which we talked about before. And today we're going to talk about Trouble Is My Business, which is the follow-up to The Girl with the Gold Bikini. Welcome back, Lisa.
Hi, Danny. Thanks for having me back. And hi, Poppy.
Hi, Lisa.
It's lovely to have all of us back in the same room. Now, I can't even remember when episode 173 was, but it must have been at least a year, maybe 18 months ago. I'm not sure. So it's good to be back together. So two books we're talking about today, Road Tripping with Pearl Nash, that's yours, Poppy, and Trouble Is My Business. Such great titles, by the way. I love them both. Can you hit me with an elevator pitch, Poppy, as to what Road Tripping with Pearl Nash is about?
Sure. So Road Tripping with Pearl Nash is set during the summer holidays of my main character, Pearl's second last year at high school. It's a coming-of-age novel, and it's got a bit of a complex friendship in there, a lot of messy family dynamics. There's a little bit about grief, kind of set during that, I think, kind of less talked about stage where it's been a little while since the initial loss. And, you know, I guess my character feels like the world's moved on, but they're still struggling. But I think realistically, I just wanted to write a very fun and happy kind of road trip novel with a bickering enemies to romance love story at its heart. So yeah,
I feel like it has a bit of everything there, and I do love a road trip, Poppy. It's one of my favorite things. And I picked up your book, I was like, yes, this is what I need right now, because obviously being in Sydney, there are no road trips for me. So thank you for allowing me to live vicariously through yours. And Lisa, can you tell us, Trouble Is My Business, can you give us an elevator pitch as to what your book is about?
Yeah, so Trouble Is My Business takes up where The Girl in the Gold Bikini left off. Olivia Grace is a a recently retired private investigator. She's trying to pass first year law and juggle a whole lot of personal stuff. She's looking after her little sister. Her parents have deserted her to go and volunteer in a Nepali monastery. Her grandmother's not being a whole lot of help and she's just very busy. But when her good friend Abby goes missing while night surfing down in Byron Bay, she decides she can't sit back and keep on just studying torts and heads off to Byron to try and find Abby. And down in Byron Bay, of course, she runs into a whole lot of shady characters. And, things get very tricky for her.
I wouldn't have any doubt that she runs into shady characters. That is her business, isn't it? Trouble is her business. Yes. And I loved her character. Like, again, I loved revisiting that. It's always nice when you go back to a book with the same characters because you can, you know, just jump straight back in. There's sort of an expectation of what's going to happen because you sort of know them. So I liked that. That was enjoyable. Now, Poppy, for me, I've always said this about your books, but what I think sets your books apart is the way you write character. I've always loved the way you write characters, and I kind of fall in love with your characters. And I think I've asked you before, but now you're a couple of books in. What's the secret? What's the secret to writing these amazing characters? Tell us your secrets.
Oh, that's very lovely of you. Yeah, there's no secret. This book, I feel like it was a total pants job. I really didn't really know what I wanted to write, and I didn't have much about the characters. I really just, you know, I just had this idea about this very bickering romance, and I just wanted to write that kind of back and forth kind of grumpy dialogue and, you know, that kind of thing, I suppose. But I really didn't know a lot about it and just kind of threw myself in. And I was actually at Varuna on an essay writer's residency that I was awarded, which was my first time ever going to a writer's retreat. Mm. And, you know, it's just so precious to get time away from life to write. So I worked so hard and I got up really early every day. And I just worked straight for 6 days and I got the whole first draft done that week. So that was the 50,000 words that it initially was.
In 6 days?
Yeah.
That is impressive. You can do NaNoWriMo in 6 days.
Oh, but by the end of it, I was exhausted and I was like, oh, well, now I can't do anything for a week. But it definitely took a lot of work after that in the editing stages as well. And I think to bring out the character, you know, the main character as well, she still needed a lot of work. So I'm not sure if writing it so quickly is good or not. But I did.
That's amazing. You know what I love? I love the idea that you pants and it's a road trip, because road trips, the great things about road trips is that even if you plan, there are unexpected things, there are little side, you know, travels you go down, you see something, you stop, you change your plans, things never work out as you want them to, you know, there's always some sort of issue going on. So I love that you pantsed it because it feels like really authentic to the road trip.
Yeah, actually I think that really works for me in these kind of character driven novels. Like I think if I was writing something, you know, with very heavily plots or a mystery or anything like that, I'd have to do a lot more, I think, prior planning. But for these kind of character-driven, like very, you know, coming of age, all about the character's growth, like I just find the magic happens when I have no idea what is going to happen next, because I find myself writing like the most unexpected things. And then, you know, by the time you get to the end of the draft, it's like they all kind of fit together, but it's not through any, you know, smart planning on my side. So
that's the magic, isn't it? That's the magic of writing.
Yeah.
Now, Lisa, we talked a little bit about, you know, revisiting the character in your book from The Girl in the Gold Bikini and revisiting that in your new book, Trouble Is My Business. I just love that title, by the way. I know I've said it, but Trouble, it's just very cool. I love it. It says a lot about, you know, the story as well. But what are the challenges of writing a follow-up and following the same character on a different adventure? What are the challenges of that?
Yeah, it was, I've never written a sequel before, so it was interesting for me to try and figure out, particularly the early part of the book, knowing how much to thread in and how much to leave out so that people who'd read the previous book weren't going, oh, this is so boring, I knew all this, and people who hadn't read the previous book were,
yeah, that's tricky,
had no idea
it?
What's happening. Yeah, but so that was the challenging part of it. The actually really excellent part of it was that I knew the characters so well that I didn't have to go through that whole sort of process of getting to know them again. And that was that. So I love that part of it. It makes me want to go on and writing more and more sequels because you just arrive with, you know, a fully formed set of characters.
Will we see a third? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, look, I hope so. I haven't actually got very far at all with that, but I'd love to write a third one, yeah.
And so the joys must have been then knowing the character and not having to sort of, I mean, obviously the character, you know, we learn more about them as well. It's not like we don't learn anything about her, but I guess that must have been part of the joy of just throwing yourself back into this person, this character that you probably had a very good idea about what they were going to do and how they would react to situations.
Yeah, and I always, I did have that idea as I came to the end of The Girl with the Gold Bikini that Olivia should go on and have a go at university. So that was something I had in mind for her, that she'd do that. And yeah, and I loved sort of seeing how the challenges of the second book, she grew through that, you know, the whole thing that she's got going on with her inner dialogue with Nancy, who's kind of her alter ego, that's something that just kind of popped up in the process of writing, and I really enjoyed having that happen with Olivia. Although, you know, obviously in the first book she did quite a lot of self-talk, but the self-talk becomes a little bit more more like an imaginary friend kind of thing in the second book.
No, it is a joyful book too, and I really like the humor in it too. You know, that's an added bonus to everything that's going on. It's quite a joyful and fun book to read.
Oh, thank you.
Now, Poppy, your story is about home and family and love and breaking things apart and bringing them back together. I really like that idea. What were these important things for you to explore in this book?
Such an interesting question. I feel like I have such a silly answer. It's so I do tend to, with my story, like, I love romance, I suppose. I do really, really love it. And I find it really, really fun to write love stories. And I think the biggest challenge for me is, I think I'm very interested in writing a love story that's kind of got that slow burn, that you really feel like those characters are getting to know each other. So that's kind of what I focus on. And, you know, that's basically all I know before I start writing is, oh, they'll sort of be like this and let's just...
more important than a love story anyway?
Well, exactly. That's
I like how that's the core of it.
But the weird thing is then I don't think about friendship or any of the other themes really before I get started. And it's more that, you know, if you've got a main character, you don't want the only thing that's going on with her to be this love story. You need her to have friends, or, you know, have issues with friends, or have a family. And so all these other kind of things just end up kind of winding their way through the story, kind of more out of necessity than because I thought about them beforehand. So yeah, it just sort of turns out that way that my books are so friendship focused, but I don't know that I intended them to be that way.
But I think that's, you know, when you write those character driven books, and like I've always said, you write these great characters. I mean, that's what happens, isn't it? They make connections with each other. So it kind of makes sense, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. I think I always find it a little bit surprising what the book ends up being from what I guess you expected at the start. And it's a very interesting experience hearing people talk about, you know, say themes in your book, and they'll be like, wow, this book had this theme, is really strong, you know, friendship. And you're like, oh, all right.
Yes, of course it did. I planned that from the beginning. I love that. But again, that's the magic, isn't it? Like, it's in you, you know, it's in you somewhere, and you manage to get that on the page, even if it wasn't a conscious decision. It's there and it's in you and it wants to come out. I find that just such an amazing process.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, the kind of themes that do end up winding their way into my stories, it's stuff that I'm thinking about, or things that I'm trying to untangle with my own mind. So they're certainly not, you know, just completely out of nowhere. They're probably just things I'm sort of unconsciously mulling over and thinking about, just in terms of my own life. And then I find that interesting to write about because they're things that I kind of want to explore how I feel around them.
Writing is therapy, your own therapy. I love that.
True.
Elisa, what I really loved was the description of Sunshine Noir. I have never heard of Sunshine Noir before. And not long ago, I did an interview about Breastfeeding Noir, which I'd never heard of before.
No.
Right? No, I didn't think you would have heard of that either. But apparently it's a thing. And then I thought I knew lots of stuff, and then I'm like, Sunshine Noir, wow. And of course your book has nods to Nancy Drew, Sherlock Holmes, Veronica Mars meets Elmore Leonard. Like, I love that. So tell me about Sunshine Noir, because I'm fascinated, and about these influences in your book.
Yeah, so I have been quite influenced, I think, by the noir genre. And in fact, the title, Trouble Is My Business, comes from a Raymond Chandler mm-hmm. short story collection. And of course, you know, Raymond Chandler was very much the master of noir with, you know, Philip Marlowe going on the dark streets of LA and that kind of thing. But the genre of sunshine noir, which is not as well known, is kind of where you do have these detectives who are encountering shady characters and all that, but they're doing it in a sunny beachside location. So instead of the dark streets, they've got the sea, but everything's very sort of sparkly on the surface, but then dark underneath. That's the sunshine noir genre. It's kind of like the Miami Vice TV show.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Or Veronica Mars too. It's that kind of thing.
It was a CSI Miami.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And also the Florida novels, like, yeah, Elmore Leonard and Carl Heisen, all those kind of novels where you've got these really dark deeds, but they're all sort of hidden under this kind of nice touristy kind of vibe on the top. And so it's very much the Byron Bay, Gold Coast kind of vibe.
I love the reference to Miami Vice. Like, I was very young when that was out, but I remember it. I remember my parents watching and I still remember the pastel suits, right?
Mm, the colours are amazing, yeah. Yeah.
I think we need to bring those back. Post-lockdown, yeah, totally, yeah. Let's bring back the pastel suits. I'm in for that.
Yeah. And I mean, Miami is, I mean, the Gold Coast has got to be Australia's answer to Miami, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Sunshine Noir, I love it. I love it. I can't believe I've never heard of it before. It's my new favourite thing.
Mm. Yeah, I love it too.
Now, Poppy, the quote from Jacqueline Moriarty is an exceptional quote, right? She says, I had a wonderful time reading this. The building romance between Pearl and Obi is so perfectly, beautifully complex, original, authentic, and sexy. I'm head over heels in love with Obi. So you have this effect on people when they read your books. I still remember your book, Making Friends with Alice Dyce, and I still remember the romantic characters in that, and I still remember falling in love with them. So you do this to people. Tell me about this quote and how that felt.
Oh my gosh, I fangirled so hard.
I can imagine.
I can't remember if I've said this on the podcast, on your podcast before, maybe I did, but the reason that I decided in the first place, or I guess I was drawn to writing these kind of, what I kind of hope are feel good, happy sort of reading experiences and very positive books, was because of Jacqueline Moriarty's book that I loved and read so many times when I was younger, Finding Cassie Crazy. I just loved it because, and you know, my books are so different to that one. They're written in a very different format. But I always just remember how her book made me feel, which was, I used to reread it a lot and it just made me feel so good. So I must say, you know, kind of having her name on my front cover was a pretty big moment. And it was actually incredible because, you know, Jacqueline was so nice and she read the whole manuscript. She gave us the quote and, you know, she was so nice and so enthusiastic. But she actually, like, pointed out a little thing about the ending that I hadn't noticed because we'd done so many sort of late stage, like, big edits with this one. I think that's because I wrote it so quickly and it was such a small draft originally. It really needed some padding out. And so she kind of pointed out something that I just know it was such a small tweak to fix at the end, just around, I think, Pearl, the main character, you know, she has this kind of, I guess, very disintegrating, almost toxic relationship with a friend, but just this idea towards the end that maybe there's more to that going on than what, you know, my main character thinks. Which gets pointed out to her by her nana toward the end of the story. And that was actually, yeah, something that Jacqueline Moriarty was like, I think you should do this. And I was like, yes, I want to do this.
Wow.
So, yeah, that was also very cool.
Yeah, that's a great story. I love that so much. And especially since you were such a fan of her work, for that to sort of come full circle. That is great. And I love her quote, and sexy. Like, that's really cool. That's
such a lovely quote. I was so excited.
I love that. And Lisa, you have got an equally amazing quote from the lovely living legend Emily Gale. We love Emily. And she says, I love being swept up in this mystery, a wonderful combination of comical, high stakes and genuine. That's a great quote. How'd you feel that's about lovely. That?
Oh, yeah, so thrilled to get that from Emily, because I do love her books too. Yeah, she's a bit of a legend of young adult literature for
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. And she's so funny. I love her on Twitter. She's funny.
Yeah, she is great on Twitter.
And also, you know, R.W.R. McDonald, one of my favourite people, he also says this is brilliant as well, because you know what? It's almost like the Nancys is a grown-up version of Trouble Is My Business.
Well, that's what I felt like.
Like cousins, right?
Yeah, totally. And he's just sort of suggested on Twitter that Olivia teams up with his Nancys, and I thought, oh yes, I could just see that. Yes. Wouldn't that be fun? But yeah.
Yeah, I could actually, you know, I didn't see that before, but as I'm talking about, I can see that real connection between the two, because you've got, you know, the dark sort of mystery and the noir in both, but they're both quite sort of, they've got that lightness to them as well, which is a really interesting part of that genre, I think.
Yeah, and just that slight quirkiness, I suppose, and also the same sort of fangirling thing about Nancy Drew.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, you got the Nancy Drew thread going too. Yeah, that's great. But I love the Nancy. So, yeah, if Olivia could go on, you know, over to New Zealand, and they could solve some crimes together.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, a little crossover. That'd be great. I'll definitely read that.
Yeah, there should be more of that kind of thing, right? Absolutely. Characters getting together from different books.
That's a great idea. Why has no one done this before? Maybe because it's a bad idea. I don't know. If it works, we'll claim it as our idea. Yeah. Now, Poppy, here's an interesting question for you. Few books in now, what defines a Poppy Nwosu book?
Oh, wow. I feel like that's such a big question and something I feel like I'm massively wrestling with at the moment. In that I have written three books that I did really try to write three books that would appeal to the same readers. But my first published book was not the first book that I wrote. I think I was maybe, I don't know, about six manuscripts in at that point. And every single book that I'd written was a different genre.
Oh, very, very different.
And I feel that all the while that I've been writing these rom-coms, I've also been working on other manuscripts. And again, they're all very, very different. And I'm not really sure. I feel like what I've, you know, what people have publicly read from me that's been published kind of paints a very particular picture that isn't exactly what's going on, I guess, creatively with me behind the scenes. And I'm not really sure, you know, what the next step is and how that works to, I guess, switch genres potentially, or do I not want to do that? I don't know.
It's interesting though, isn't it? It's interesting how you perceive your work and then how others perceive your work. Have you found there's a bit of difference between the two?
I think so. And I think I'm sure it's the same with all authors. And I think massively it comes down to the fact that it tends to be that when your book gets published, you know, it's new for everybody. This is the latest thing that you've just done. This is what you've just done. But for you, most likely, you know, it happened a year ago, maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And you've well and truly, like, I guess creatively, but in terms of where your mind's at, you've moved on to something that feels very new. And it's kind of a strange experience then to, you know, have interviews and talk about it. And I'm always like, oh, I don't know, read some of my book to remember what it was
brush
about.
Up.
Yeah. So it is, it's a really interesting experience because you obviously you want to talk about the book that's new for everybody else and not, you know, sit around getting excited about whatever it is that you're working on right now only, you know. So yeah, I think it's a real balancing act, and it does feel a little bit strange, I think.
Yeah, it would, because it is a long process, you know, the writing and then the publishing of a book, it's years.
It is. It's a huge process. And you know, the books, I think, change so much during that process too. So I think you lose track of sometimes your intentions initially because, you know, so much, particularly with this book, actually more than I think my previous two, structurally had, yeah, there was a lot more work with this one just in terms of particularly, I think, drawing out the friendship aspect and just trying to make Pearl, my main character, just very consistent the whole way through. So it did change a lot. And trying to remember how I felt when I, or even what I wrote initially, I'm like, wow, I don't know. That was
quite a I can't long remember time. My ending.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that. But I love how it's such a process, and it is that complex, messy process to get to the beautiful book. You know, I do like that and enjoy that process. Maybe not when you're in it, but sort of, you know, on the other side of it, I think it's, you know, you can reflect back and go, wow, that was something. You know, if at the end you get this beautifully published book. What more could you want?
Moment when you hold it in your hands for the first time, that is a moment for me.
That's a magic moment.
That's absolute magic.
Lisa, what about you? What defines a Lisa Walker book?
Yeah, that was interesting hearing what you had to say, Poppy, about genre, because I've always struggled, I feel like, to stick in a particular genre, because as a reader, I read so broadly across genres. And so I started off writing romantic comedy and then kind of segued into these young adult mysteries. But I guess all of my books do, what they do have in common is that they have that sort of slightly quirky, humorous element. So I guess that's what defines my books. And I think, you know, even at the moment, I'm kind of fiddling around with something that I think is more in the thrillery kind of genre, but I think it'll still have that humorous edge. So, it won't be a really dark sort of a thriller. There'll still be funny things happening in between. Yeah. And I've always been very keen on that transformation arc of a character as well. So that does define my books as well, is that the character's always changed significantly over the course of the novel.
I like that. Yeah. It's interesting you both talked about genre and, you know, jumping out of genres or writing in different genres. But would you agree that being a creative person, not only can you sort of jump genres, but you can just be creative in different ways, whether it's making a cake or whether it's, you know, doing art or whatever. Like, creativity kind of moves in different spaces. It's not like you can just write one thing and that's all you can write.
Yeah, I think that's so true. I think my biggest problem is more trying to focus down on, you know, one thing and actually finish that thing, because I'm constantly distracted by not only different genres or different manuscripts or different books, but also, like you said, different creative pursuits. I kind of started out in life very focused on music before I moved and kind of discovered that writing was what I wanted to do. But that was a huge thing for me for, you know, a lot of my younger years. And then, you know, I like art, I like all these things. So yeah, I find that really hard. And like Lisa said, I read really widely. You know, I love so many different things. But which is probably why, you know, I guess it's nice to have your output also be so many different things.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think, Lisa? Creativity sort of spans and is not stuck in one particular thing.
Yeah, look, I don't have another talent in terms of creativity. I play the ukulele, but, you know, really badly. It's just something I enjoy. But in terms of my writing, I feel like even though it's probably a good commercial decision to try and keep on doing something that's a bit the same but different, because that way the market knows what you're doing, for me, it's unfortunately, I don't think, possible. I always want to try something a little bit different. Yeah. And I know a lot of writers are like that, but others are happy to keep on doing something that's a little bit the same but that different. And I think that's how you do build your audience, is by doing that.
Yeah, that's true. And I also think that it's kind of cool to do things badly as well. You know, as you said, you play the ukulele badly. Like, I think that's, if you enjoy it, like, who cares? You know, like, I love making cakes and I'm no expert. Like, I'll take a good Insta picture, but don't look at the back of it or the side of it or what's underneath it. Like, you know, the cake's probably burnt. I've had to, you know, fill it up with heaps of stuff, you know, so you take one good picture at an angle, but, you know, I just love doing it. So I think sometimes creative pursuits, who cares if you don't master it? If you love the process, who cares? Like, isn't, I think creativity is also part of the process, not just the end product.
Yeah, totally. It's the way it makes you feel inside.
Yeah.
It gives you joy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's really you're in that moment, you know, and I feel like in our busy lives, there's not a lot of time to be present as much as we'd like to be, but those creative pursuits, just, you know, even now, you know, doing the podcast, you are present. You have no choice but to be present. I think that's the same with writing or creating anything.
That's yeah, so totally. True. I love that feeling, actually. But, you know, I haven't been very settled with my writing lately because I've a number of different things. But I do love that feeling when you settle into a project and you feel your mind just slow and get into it. Yeah.
And you're not doing a million things badly at once. You know how bad at multitasking we are, not pretending we're good at it. Like, oh, I'm great at multitasking. You're not. I'm not. I'm terrible at it. So it's good to be able to just focus on the one thing. And usually for me, and probably yourselves as well, they're those creative pursuits. So that's interesting. Now, I've asked you this before, so I tweaked it a tiny bit because I do like this question, and I feel like it does change, you know, over time and over books. But Poppy, why do you keep writing?
Oh, I don't think I could stop at this point. I'm sure that's what I said last time, but I can't remember. I love it. I absolutely love it. I think for me, I just love the stories, and I just have so many in my head all the time. And yeah, my problem is just that I'll never live long enough to write them all down. So yeah, I can't imagine stopping.
I love that. What about you, Lisa? Why do you keep writing?
I don't think there's anything else I've discovered that has that same satisfaction level to it, even though obviously a lot of the time it's actually very difficult and frustrating. The complexity of it, you know, I love the way it's like, you know, making a jigsaw or something. You've got, in the end, when you get it all together, it almost seems magical. And yeah, it's that satisfaction of finding the story and putting it together. Yeah, and obviously we have this really sort of inbuilt need to create and read stories, and that whole story thing is something that's so hardwired into us. It's just innately satisfying.
Yeah, and solving that puzzle, and then, like Poppy said, having that beautiful book in your hand, you know, that's the real reward. Thank you so much for your time today. I loved both of these books, and I love their covers. How cool are their covers?
Yeah, they're beautiful.
That's so good. So thank you so much. I loved having this little chat with the three of us again. I thought when you both had books out at a similar time again, I thought, well, we could do this, you know, again, this little conversation we're having together about your books. And so it's been so lovely to have you back and then talk about, you know, how your processes have stayed the same, but you've also grown and changed as writers as well. Like, that's interesting, you know, and bringing that into your new work. So thank you so much for sharing all of that with me and writing these beautiful, enjoyable books, because I think there's nothing more than we need right now. There's a bit of an escape, which is, you know, Sunshine Noir and a road trip. Like, does it get any better than that, really?
Oh, thank you so much for having us, Danny. It's been a lot of fun coming back.
Yeah, thanks so much, Danny. That was a lovely chat.
Yeah, I agree. And 173 and this episode, and we'll have to do it again when you have books. You have to always just have your books out at the same time now. That's now going to be a thing.
That's it. We're sorted. Yeah.
And what will be interesting, watch this space to see what genres you end up coming out with, whether we veer or whether we go the same. So we'll talk about that next time. But thank you so much for your time.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Words and Nerds podcast. We'd love to engage with you on social media. You can find the podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, Danny V Books Words and Nerds podcast. You can also subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. Stay safe and read more books.